Welcome everybody to the Marlington Local School District Board of Education regular meeting, February 20th, 2020. I call this meeting to order. The invocation will be by Pastor John Truax.
Let us pray. Lord, we thank you tonight that we are one community, that we are blessed with Marlington Local Schools. We pray, Father, for you to guard us and guide us tonight, that you watch among us and help us, Lord, to be our best selves. And Father, we just thank you for all the blessings that you've given our community, our faculty, our teachers, our administration, our students, our school board, our bus drivers, our cooks. Lord, everybody that is a part of the schools and the community, we're here tonight because we care. And we thank you, Lord, that you care and love us too. In Jesus' name, amen.
Please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Mrs. Humphreys, would you please read the mission statement?
Collaboration with staff, community, parents, and students, the Marlington Local School District will develop lifelong learners who understand and apply knowledge and demonstrate excellence in pursuing the highest standards with effective intervention to challenge every student.
Thank you. This meeting is a meeting of the Board of Education in public for the purpose of conducting the school district's business and is not to be considered a public community meeting. There is time for public participation during the meeting as indicated in the agenda item 12. I want to make a few comments for meeting protocol this evening. After reflecting on the last school board meeting, I wish to personally acknowledge the differences of opinions we all share on the matters we are here to discuss. Unfortunately, those opinions were expressed in ways and at times that were volatile, disrespectful, and disruptive, which not only lengthened the meeting time considerably, but made it impossible to conduct official business in an orderly fashion. With this in mind, it has become necessary to establish a protocol for this meeting so that the board may conduct its business in a professional and timely manner. As such, I'm requesting that everyone demonstrate respect for one another, regardless of whether you agree or disagree with their opinion or the board's decisions. This includes not only the words that are used, but the mannerisms, attitude, and tone of voice with which they are expressed. There should be no clapping, shouting, or cheering to avoid interruptions and disruptions. Anyone failing to adhere to these rules of conduct will be asked to leave the meeting immediately with the assistance of our school resource officer. Furthermore, if you have signed up to speak during public participation, you'll be expected to conduct yourself accordingly and refrain from derogatory or insulting remarks toward any member of the board, staff, or community. Failure to do so will result in your being escorted from the podium by the school resource officer, regardless of whether you have completed your comments or not. Additionally, with regard to the board members, the meeting will be conducted as follows. If you wish to contribute to the present discussion of a topic you have not personally introduced, you'll raise your hand and only after being recognized by the president then provide your comment. Comments are to remain focused only on the topics being discussed, introducing unrelated information, as well as redirecting or drifting of discussion into unrelated issues will result in the end of your remarks by the president and return of the discussion to the matter at hand. Without exception, all comments must be presented in a professional and respectful way, which includes the attitude, tone of voice, and general behavior that accompany them. Board members unable to conduct themselves in this way will be deemed out of order. If questions are to be raised on behalf of the board, only the president will reach out to the superintendent or treasurer for clarification. Neither the superintendent nor treasurer may interject comments without raising their hand and having been recognized by the president. Thank you. Please call the roll.
Mrs. Gabrick?
Here.
Mr. Hagan?
Here.
Mrs. Humphries?
Here.
Dr. Mason?
Here.
Mrs. Stevens?
Here.
The adoption of the meeting agenda. I have a few agenda comments before we move on with this. The purpose of the board meeting agenda is to help the board maximize accuracy, efficiency, and productivity. While the board and administrators make every effort to place items on the agenda a few days ahead of the board meeting, there will be last minute additions and corrections from time to time, as have occurred in the last 14 years that I have served on this board. Although it was alleged at last month's meeting that additions to the agenda were a surprise, uninformed opinions and harmful accusations have made it now necessary for me to make the following official statement in that regard. Superintendent Knoll was asked by email on Wednesday, February 5th at 11:20 a.m. to add the following items to the final agenda: that action may be taken during the facilities discussion as well as a topic following the executive session. In that communication, Mr. Knoll was also asked if he might have a desire to draft resolutions pertaining to each of these discussions. Because my requested items were not placed on the final agenda as I had requested, they had to be added at the meeting. I wish to emphasize that transparency is of the utmost importance to the board. However, it can only be provided insofar as each of us is willing to cooperate and believe in its necessity. The adoption of the meeting agenda. Administrators, do you have any corrections or additions to the current agenda? Any additions or corrections?
Nope.
Board, do you have any additions or corrections to the agenda?
I do. I would like the public speaks to be moved up to the normal slot. The time that we are taking for these meetings is really long, and there's lots of parents here who need to get home to their kids. Page 32 of the Boardsmanship book from OSBA
Karen,
nothing is more damaging
to a board's
credibility.
Excuse me, Karen, I believe you're out of order. We're not going
to
be discussing your boardsmanship. Karen, we have placed Karen.
Boardsmanship is a part of what we are supposed to do. You just lectured us.
Karen.
On boardsmanship.
Karen,
so
you are out of order. We're discussing the agenda.
The agenda, I want the public speaks to be moved to the normal slot.
I have spoken to Mr. Knoll about this, and he and I agreed that we will have the public speaks at the end of the agenda prior to the executive session.
I'm sure he didn't agree with that. I'm sure you just told him that's how it was going to be.
Karen, I believe you're out of order. Are there any other additions or corrections?
I don't care. That's ridiculous. It's ridiculous.
Is there
this
a motion?
Ridiculous.
Karen, you are out of order. Is there a motion to accept the agenda as presented?
I'll make the motion.
Second.
Any further discussion? Please call the roll.
Mrs. Gabrick?
Yes.
Mr. Hagan?
Yes.
Mrs. Humphries?
No.
Dr. Mason?
No.
Mrs. Stevens?
Yes.
Motion approved 3-2.
I just want to further point out that the public participation has been moved because it's going to be a significant discussion on the facilities prior to public speaks, and hopefully that will answer many of your questions. It will allow everybody to join in later with additional questions, or they can ask questions. If they have signed up, they can ask additional questions on things that have been presented. We have special presentations. The first one is new board member 201, Mastering Your Board Leadership Skills, which is a seminar that I attended by OSBA, and just a brief overview of that. The first topic that was discussed was facilitating consensus in teamwork managing difficult decisions and finding a way to meet the needs and expectations of everyone on your leadership team. They covered policies with new legislation and budgets, social media and media relationships, keeping current with events in school transportation, and identify common controversy board space, including contentious public participation sessions, employment matters, and other public relations nightmares. And then they had open meeting session where OSBA attorneys provide answers and insights into the most common legal questions relating to the Open Meetings Act and obligations under Ohio Sunshine Law. And then we have staff recognition, and Mr. Nolan is going to take care of that.
Right. Ms. Harris Day, come on down. The Alliance Review puts together a nice little article every now and then recognizing outstanding educators, and I'm standing beside one right here. The Alliance Review made the Great Teacher of the Month for the month of January. And there's a lot of music in this family, right? Yeah. Not only here with your son, lady, but with your husband.
He's at conference tonight in Jackson.
Oh, okay. So he could be here tonight, but he's another music guy. He teaches over the Jackson schools. Okay. So hang on to that. Congratulations, Ms. Evans.
We'll now have the Students of the Month, and we'll start at the high school.
Okay, we have two students of the month tonight from the high school. They're both here tonight. Our first is Sophia Boyd. Sophia, you come on up. Sophia is the daughter of William and Jennifer Blake. She has a list of accomplishments and activities here at the high school, including Marlington Interact Club, Marlington Student Council, NHS, French Club, French NHS, Washington Variety 4-H Club, and a class officer. Sophia is going to attend Mount Union University for nursing or biology when she's done with us. She says she enjoys being with her friends and family, working at Texas Roadhouse, and spending time outside. Congratulations, Sophia. And our second student month is Mr. Aiden Comfort. Aiden, come on down. Aiden is the son of Brenda and Melvin. He belongs to multiple activities, including Character Counts for 2 years, Interact Club, our Corral Vice President, soccer for the last 4 years, tennis, bowling, Duke Street, Drama Dukes, and one of our late crew leaders. Aiden enjoys playing soccer and tennis, listening to music, and playing his guitar. Future plans for Aiden after graduation is going to the University of Akron to study pre-med. Congratulations and good luck, Aiden.
Good evening. We have two fine middle school students to recognize tonight. Our first one is Kelsey Neiman. Come on up here, Kelsey. Kelsey is an eighth grader. She is the daughter of Greg and Heather Neiman. Her favorite class is Algebra 1. She likes having one answer and how you can prove it in many different ways. Kelsey plays golf for the Lady Dukes and kept the scorebook for the 7th and 8th grade girls basketball team this year. She's a member of the River Tree Lake Youth Group and church. In her free time, she loves volunteering at the church, but she also likes just taking some time to relax. Kelsey's teachers had this to say about her. Kelsey is such a hard worker in the classroom. She does a fantastic job of working to grasp concepts, but is also comfortable asking questions when needed. She brings a smile every day that is contagious, She does the little things, like waving down the hallway just to say hi, and she has a great sense of humor. In addition, Kelsey donates her time after school. She volunteered to do the scorebook all year for the girls' basketball team without asking for anything in return. She just loved helping. And lastly, the teacher said her bubbly personality and good work ethic make her an ideal student. She is always eager to participate and help others. Kelsey Newman. Our next student of the month is an eighth grader, Cameron Mitchell. Come on up, Cameron. Son of Adam and Jamie Mitchell. His favorite classes are history and science. He's a member of our wrestling team here at the middle school, and he's been wrestling for 6 years. Just this past Saturday, he captured the EBC championship in the 80-pound class. In his free time, he enjoys riding dirt bikes at home and taking trips to ride as well. He loves riding with his cousins. But one of his favorite things to do is go fishing with Grandpa at Piedmont Lake and local ponds and lakes. Cameron's teachers had this to say about him. Cameron is a very hard worker and constantly has a positive attitude. He's a good example to those around him. He keeps improving in his schoolwork and makes his classes a better place to be. Cameron tries really hard. He is persistent. He's not afraid to ask questions, and he's respectful and polite. Cameron Mitchell.
Student of the month was Samantha Provoznik. I don't think Samantha is here. Big crowd, I'll make sure she's not here. Just wanted to say a couple things about her real quick. What her teacher said Sam was chosen due to her ability to treat others fairly, offer help when needed, and an overall capacity for caring. She naturally notices when others could help, use help and support, and spring into action. One thing I thought was really interesting when she did a little survey and everything, what she wants to do when she grows up. It's not the typical thing that you hear. She wants to be the world's best barrel racer. Congratulations, Samantha. Washington, for those of you who care, it is his birthday today. Make sure you wish him well.
The Washington Student of the Month is Jace Gates. I don't think he is here tonight. Just a little bit about Jace. He's an outstanding student who is kind and friendly to others. He's a leader amongst his peers, and every day he comes to school working to show these good pride expectations. He loves to read, he enjoys the Lord of the Rings series, and when he grows up, he wants to be a professional football player or an actor and singer.
My February curriculum report, I try to cover several themes every month. Always professional development. I'm a big proponent of letting our community know that our teachers work really hard, both during the day and outside of the day, to hone their craft. I always try to give a shout out, and I wanted to report to the board about our student teacher and field placements. I want to give a huge, this is also a shout out and a professional development. We sent a team of teachers last week to Columbus. We send a team every year to the Ohio Technology Conference that's based out of Columbus. And for the second year running, we had Aubrey Horning presenting at that conference, which is quite an honor. She presented on STEAM Summer Camp. And we also had Aubrey and Eric Siders present at the Playground, which is an area at the conference where it's kind of a free range area. You set up a table, you can see that in the picture, and other teachers and educators can come by and chat with you very casually, and you can talk about your programming. And there they talked about elementary STEAM programming. It was quite a hit. Aubrey and Eric both came back with a list of schools and people in the state of Ohio who want to come see what we're doing at the elementary level with elementary STEAM. So I'm very proud of that. And plus, they came back with a lot of great ideas to share among our faculty. I want to give a huge shout out again to Science Fair. Mr. Shaw leads a team of science teachers at the high school and a group of volunteers who judge every year. And this year was, again, not to disappoint. 59 total projects, 16 superior ratings. Those are hard to come by. 37 ratings of excellent and 6 ratings of good. Our overall team winners were Caleb Carr and Danny Grimes. And I think I saw Mrs. Grimes here. Congratulations. And our individual winner was Noah Bixler. Teams who presented, Edward Diaz, Jocelyn Summers, Alexa Sabatino, Catherine Beamer, Kasiah Comfort, Logan Waite, Sam Dine, Jacob Charlton, Caleb Carr, Danny Grimes, Willa Olds, Olivia Schilling, Haley Conafalcone, Lauren Keithley, Jaden Mitchell, Ella Wright, Walter Bumgard, and Noah Graham. And then our individuals, Noah Bixler, Evan Bland, Ashley Klosky, Brianna Kurtz, Philip Ryan, Allison Landon, and Claire Gerber. Those students, they put in a lot of work to present at the science fair. So hats off, big shout out to them. For the 2019-20 school year, we have 26 higher ed students who are partnering with our teachers. We love to have student teachers come and field placements on varying levels. Some of them come for a few hours a semester, some of them come for 50 hours a semester, some of them do their student teaching, which is they're here every day, all day, for the entire semester. We partner this year with Mount Union, Walsh College, and Kent State. Some of the things that we celebrate in February are 100th day of school. Our kids do a really great job. They always look forward to the 100th day of school. Some cute pictures of the elementary. Those came from Lexington, I believe. And then finally, this year, February 29th, we get a free day, an extra 24 hours that we didn't have last year, nor will we have next year. So use them wisely. Thank you.
Okay, so just a brief update on the Advisory Council. The Talent Development and Education Initiative is up and running, and it works on university relations, workforce partnership initiatives, workforce and education task force, regional retention and expansion network. Some of the goals that they discussed are connecting businesses with our education system, expanding education and campus collaboration with area businesses, lead collaborative workforce goals, and support and promote initiatives. And some of their objectives for this year is to organize a home for the holidays where businesses have a chance to connect with students when they come home for like Thanksgiving and Christmas breaks, which is a really awesome idea. Work with the Career Tech Expo, reconvene the manufacturing cluster, and building some more relationships with our area schools. They want to conduct 9 meetings of the education committee and encourage other organizations to investigate and execute a bus tour of new employees. That sounds very familiar because we did that this year with our new teachers. We put them on a school bus and drove them around. And that was a very interesting experience for a lot of our new teachers. So just a little update from the business advisory. All right, so let me shift gears to you. Talk a little bit about a community survey. Back in November, Mrs. Gabrick and I attended a session down at the Capitol Conference, and it was about building trust between the board and our community. And we talked about different ways of communicating and listening to your stakeholders. One of the things that came up was do a survey. So I had done one of these in a couple years, to be honest with you, so it was a good time just to kind of throw some things out. 182 of you participated in that, and I appreciate that. So there was a lot of demographic questions on there. I'm not going to bother tonight going over that, but some of the nuts and bolts questions are right here. So are you a parent? About 62% of the people that filled them out are parents. And then I shifted, okay, so parents, talk to me a little bit about what are your concerns with your kiddos with mental health and wellness. And you guys have been coming to board meetings. I've been talking about this for a couple years now. What can we do to educate our parents? Okay, well, here's what moms and dads had to say. The top one, helping, right in here, helping your student manage stress. The next one down, tips for a successful school experience. This one down here, internet safety, dealing with social media. And the last one down here is developing a positive mindset. I really appreciate that input because I took all of those topics and those became the topics, the guidelines for our mental health and wellness parent series. That's coming in March. March the 10th, every Tuesday in March, we're gonna talk about one of those areas. So we put your responses to work. And hopefully you can come with that. There'll be more information coming out a little bit later on that. So, next question. What do you think about us offering when it comes to an academic experience? Excellent, good. So on this one, we had 84% of our respondents say we have a good or excellent academic program in here at the district. Question number 7, what do you think about like extracurricular things, clubs, sports, fine arts, all that? So on question 7, we had 79% of our people say excellent or good. That's a good number. Happy with that. Question 8, how are we doing preparing kids for college and or career readiness? Which is really, that's why we're here. All right, that's what this lady's passion right here. This is what she does along with me to support her. So we had 74% of our people say, yep, we're very prepared. Our kids come out somewhat prepared. Question 9, in general, how's your bang for your buck? That's what this question was, all right? As far as your tax dollars are going. So excellent and good. We had 68% of our people say one of those two areas right there. Okay? It's a good number. Question 10. Communicating with our residents. How are we doing? All right. So on this one, 62% said good or excellent. As a superintendent, 62% ain't in grade school. Okay, so we gotta do, got some work to do there on communicating with all of you. This is my favorite question. How do you like to get stuff from us at the school district? I am really glad that this is number one. Email, newsletters, like my Tuesdays with Mr. Null stuff that I fire out to you every couple weeks. I'm glad that people are enjoying that, okay? That's a big one. And here's another good news, all right? The district news and views was the next big one. And I'm also glad to hear that because we spent a lot of time and I see a lot of my secretaries here because we drive them crazy getting pictures and information, but that was our second big one. And I'm glad that you feel that that's been beneficial. That takes time, effort, and to be honest with you, it does take money to put all that stuff together and mail out to you. So really happy about that question. Question 12, safety. And that's what these guys do for a living. All right, these SROs that I have, along with your building principals. We made a lot of progress in the last 8 years I've been here due to both of them along with a lot of other people in this room. But how safe do you think our buildings are? 71%, very or safe. And I'm glad to hear that number. Okay, I am. And the final question that we're gonna talk about, are we heading in the right direction? This was very open-ended on purpose because the next question was kind of just talk to me about what your thoughts were. About one-third, yep. One-third, nope. One-third, we're not even sure. Okay, so very interesting question as we made our way down. But thank you to all those people that took it. I really appreciate that. Please know that we look at this data as an administrative team, obviously myself. That's why I'm sharing with the board as well. But we use that to make decisions moving forward. So appreciate your time.
Does the board have any questions on the survey?
Oh, I got a question. Joe, is there anywhere people can access the survey results?
Yeah, we can put it online.
On the school
I usually
website?
Do. Yeah, okay. We can put it on our website if the board's okay with that.
Yeah.
Sure.
At this time, we'll begin the business portion of our meeting. So if anyone would like to be excused, they may be dismissed at this time. During old business, we're going to continue the facilities discussion from last month's meeting, and I would like to open it up. And at this time, I would like to make a few comments about facilities and address some of the questions that came up in the emails that I've received recently. Regardless of whether we agree or disagree on facility issues, I believe we're all here because we want to serve our students, our staff, and our community in the best possible way. So whether we realize it or not, we do have something in common, and it might be best to keep that in mind as we move forward with these issues. Although the community has voted down every bond levy for new construction in the last 4 years, this pattern isn't new. They voted down every such request for the last nearly 20 years. I think they're trying to tell us something. 4 years ago, Mr. Hipley was elected to the school board, committing to work toward repairing and restoring our buildings. However, early in his term, he opted to support consolidation instead. Last November, the voters decided not to re-elect Mr. Hipley, along with our former board president, who was also a strong proponent of the issue. I think they're trying to tell us something. The Hagan-Stevens campaign ran heavily on restoring and repairing our schools with the support of the Nexus funds, along with preserving localized education and the reopening of Marlboro Elementary. The alternative was re-electing Mr. Ryan and Mr. Hipley, which would have meant keeping the elementary students in their semi-consolidated arrangement while the district entered into a high-risk rent-to-own lease purchase agreement for a consolidated school that would have obligated us to nearly $30 million of debt, including interest, all of which the Nexus money was promised to cover, and we now know would have fallen woefully short. The choice for voters was clear, and they resoundingly chose Hagan-Stevens. In a four-person race, the fact that both of them won against incumbents is a very rare occurrence, and doing it by winning all three townships and by over 70% in some of the precincts only underscores that this wasn't an ordinary election. The voters had a statement to make, and they made it loudly and definitively. Yes, I think they're trying to tell us something, and I think it's time to listen. Given these realities, the board's decision to move forward with localized education and the Restore Repair Project is more than reasonable. It's our responsibility. Whether you are the wealthiest person in the district or an elderly voter living on a fixed income, your voice matters to me. However, when a decision is made so consistently and clearly at the polls regarding our facilities or any other issue, for this long, I have an ethical and moral obligation to carry out the will of the majority of the community. Being blessed to live in the freest country of the world, I'm shocked and saddened when I hear comments such as, "You shouldn't listen to voters." Unfortunately, I've seen where not listening to voters has gotten us. Our schools are suffering from years of neglect, which is the result of previous school boards approving little more than patch-up maintenance while spending large sums of money on non-essential projects and services the voters neither expressed a desire for nor had a say in. There's no moving forward until we finally honor, respect, and listen to the majority of our community. Author Jane Austen famously said, "It's not what we think or feel that makes us who we are. It is what we do or fail to do." When I read in many of your emails that you plan to vote against any upcoming levy requests, it saddens me and seriously calls into question if you really want what's best for our students. Even the majority of our voters have repeatedly voted no on consolidation, yet still voted to pass the recent levy renewal. In the end, only actions matter, and our choices will speak louder than our words, especially to our students. Some of you have also said that buildings do not educate children, and I couldn't agree more. Students can learn just as well at Marlboro Elementary as anywhere else in the district, and in accordance with the wishes of the majority of the community, while remaining closer to family and home. Not only that, research consistently shows small schools, less than 400 students, are superior on most measures to larger schools and equal on the rest. This holds true for both elementary and secondary students of all ability levels in all kinds of settings. This includes markers such as achievement, behavior, teacher connection, safety, stronger student relationships, greater involvement, more participation, achievement equity, better attendance, and more. Equally important, low-income students consistently do better in small schools and regularly outperform higher-income students in larger schools. The larger a school gets, the worse low-income students perform. The power of poverty, overachievement, is 3 times greater for low-income students in large schools compared to small ones. At the same time, large consolidated buildings full of the latest technology don't help students perform better either. After examining the results from 70 countries, the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development stated that technology in the classroom provided no noticeable improvement for students, particularly in reading, math, and science, and had raised too many false hopes. Even the National Education Association is on record saying, "Don't believe the hype when it comes to computers in the classrooms engaging students, increasing motivation, or helping them perform better. It's not that I'm against technology, but placing too much emphasis on the bells and whistles of a new school can come at the expense of what happens inside it. My vision for our schools is not that different from the decision that has been made to fix the middle school after voters once again rejected the proposal for new construction. For $2 million, the school was given an overhaul, and contractors are now saying it should last for another 30 years. This is a building the OFCC said needed to be torn down and rebuilt for tens of millions of dollars. The previous board has started the same process for the high school, with updates and repairs that will hopefully, when finished, extend its life for just as long, and all this for a fraction of the cost of rebuilding. I recommend that the 2020 board follow the same logic for all of our school buildings and commit to doing everything necessary to make it a success. Our plan involves gathering assessments for all district buildings, including estimated costs and project prioritization, with Nexus monies to fund the most essential aspects of the plan. We fully acknowledge the challenge of Nexus valuation and therefore will focus initially on the most fundamental repairs. Because of this, I will remain forever grateful, and so should you, that we are now not sitting here under a signed lease purchase agreement with a consolidated school in the midst of construction, knowing that the Nexus funds wouldn't even come close to covering the $17.4 million local share, not to mention at least $10 million additional in interest, which would have fallen entirely to the taxpayers, who would have had no choice but to pay up or lose the school. What a relief it is now that we have the opportunity to move forward with a conservative, responsible plan that at long last respects the will of the majority of our community and preserves the benefits of localized education for our youngest students who need them most. It should not be forgotten the previous board also wanted to reopen Marble Elementary School, but as an HVAC career center for $500,000, not including staffing and overhead for a handful of students with no guarantee they would even be interested or complete the program, especially considering similar options elsewhere. Opening Marlboro Elementary as an HVAC career center also begs the question, if Marlboro was too costly, unsafe, dilapidated, and everything else we were told to operate as an elementary school, why reopen it at all, much less invest time and money into it? If it is good enough for HVAC career center, it's good enough to be an elementary school again. I'm not against HVAC program, but we would like to look at this closer at the cost effectiveness of such a venture and at a different district location for it. I support investigating all career tech options as well as improving our existing programs to attract more students. As we reopen Marble Elementary School, I call on our administrators to investigate ways for increasing enrollment. When Marble closed, we lost students. Let's keep Marlington kids at Marlington and get them back. We must attract others through increased programming, such as a Marlington preschool and special services staffed by Marlington educators, and expanding our open enrollment by making our programs outstanding. We have to be innovative with a clear and concise strategy in order to house other programs at Marlboro, such as a daycare, and community-based programs. Of course, this is all while we work toward the imperative of increasing test scores. The thousands of hours we spent arguing over facilities is precious time wasted that could have been spent working toward these crucial goals. It's only when we invest our time and attention in these vital objectives that we truly begin to move Marlington forward together with a unified voice and purpose. I challenge the board members and administrators to demonstrate this spirit and become part of the solution. I would also like to extend this invitation to the members of the political action group Marlington Forward and the funders of the recent attack ad against Josh, Danielle, and myself that was published in last Saturday's Alliance Review. While such a negative ad full of inaccuracies may have provided great satisfaction within your group, it's not going to change anyone's mind. In fact, the margin of victory for Hagan Stevens last November was virtually identical to the margin that rejected the last bid for consolidation a year earlier. Public displays such as these and outrageous behavior at the board meetings that gets mentioned in media coverage only serve to embarrass the district and paint us as a squabbling school system that can't get its act together. This is the very sentiment that was shared with me by several people who saw the ad. After such a petty and public display, who would want to send their children to our schools? I understand that you're angry, but it's impossible to please everyone. In a democratic system, we're called upon to maintain order in our society by casting our vote on any number of issues, but our responsibility does not end there. Oftentimes, the results don't turn out as what we might have preferred, and so we have a further responsibility to reconcile with those decisions and move forward in a new direction with the hope that we might be pleased with the end result, even though it might not look exactly as we had wanted. To do anything else is to breed resentment, divisiveness, and subversion, which can never help move Marlington forward. So I ask the board, administrators, staff, and community to resist petty politics, put old differences away that are bogging us down, and move forward with me into a future that I'm confident that will make Marlington one of the most desirable school districts in the county. We don't have to keep going like this because we're better than this. We are Marlington. Is there more board discussion on this, on the facilities? Josh, do you have anything you'd like to add?
I guess I'd just like to see us take a direction on this as far as the repairs to the buildings.
Can you not hear me now?
I said I'd like for us to make a decision as far as taking a direction towards how we're going to go about making the repairs at the facilities.
Can't hear you.
Miss Gabriel, might just maybe just use
that
one.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. That's the best one we got. Thank you. Squeeze that bottom part there. Just that little right here. Squeeze this right here. Great.
Okay.
One more time. All right. Can you hear me now? Yes. Sorry about that. I thought you could hear me. Anyhow, I just said I'd like for us to make a decision as far as what direction we're going as far as getting the repairs started, and just think we need to do something about that, you know, just to get it moving.
I actually have a motion I would like to make involving this, since action items may be taken. So before we move into anything, let me read this. Whereas the safety of the students of the Marlington Local School District is of utmost importance to the Board of Education, and whereas older buildings have been shown to contain potentially dangerous amounts of environmental toxin, and whereas parents have noted the concerns of the potential dangers in their children, it is resolved that the Board of Education will hire a certified environmental company to do a full environmental analysis on Marlboro Elementary School before it is reopened. This analysis shall include, but not be limited to, asbestos, lead, mold, as well as an indoor air quality assessment. The results of this testing shall be presented to the board in a timely manner so that the board can determine the course of action if one is necessary.
Scott, could you please distribute your resolution to the board?
I will pass it out.
Is there further discussion on Dr. Mason's resolution?
I think we've heard that a lot from parents, and I think that's a great idea.
Excuse me? Could you pass this down?
I've heard that also from a lot of parents. They're concerned with the safety of that building, and that would be the place to start before any repairs are made to find out really just the extent of what needs to be fixed in that regard, air quality.
I just have a question for all the board members that were on here prior to us. When the decision was made to close Marlboro and consolidate to the other two elementaries, was this put in place for that reasoning at all either, to decide which building to consolidate to?
It was based on...
So there was no survey done as far as which building was safest for the kids to decide which one to close?
Well, students continue to be in those classes, in those classrooms. They've been out of Marlboro. They've been out of Marlboro for a long time. I understand there's been a lot of things taken out of Marlboro to be used and repurposed. We know that when asbestos is touched, that's when it becomes dangerous. We don't know what's gone on in the building since that time. So to go back in is different than when you're in a building we're already in and occupying.
So once again, my question is, was this concern brought up when you guys decided which school to close? I mean, was this of utmost importance when you decided which one of the elementaries needed to be closed for the consolidation effort? And
what's the point in that? I mean,
I'm just saying, why is this your concern now? And when you
parents bring it up?
No, I'm agreeing. It's a concern. I'm just saying, why wasn't this a concern as far as which elementary had the least amount of asbestos before deciding which one to close?
Well, we can vote on this. Whatever you vote.
I see the point of this resolution. Joe, you're up.
I don't have enough room. I guess I would kind of concur, not even knowing that was coming. We reached out to the health department, Mr. Serpe and I, and we actually have a walk around scheduled for next Tuesday. I just thought it would be a good idea just to get somebody with some experience. As you guys know, we get twice, I think, a year. The health department already comes in without having anybody in there, you know, for this year. I thought that would be a good idea. So Mr. Serpe and myself and a representative from the health department will be at Marlboro next week to do the walk around. Just to continue with that, if you don't mind, we no longer have a food license at Marlboro. So we have to reapply, and there is a whole bunch of things that we need to do. I can't reach my sheet, I read it to you. It's going to cost us some time and some money, and maybe some architectural dollars as well, because we need some drawings. So we'll get a little more guidance on that next week. But basically what they're going to tell us is, here's recommendations, and here's things that you got to get done now. So I'm interested in what I'm going to hear from her. I don't know time frame on getting information back, but I thought it was a good idea on our part to start having those conversations as well.
So I had previously requested information from the superintendent regarding the asbestos reports, and he had said that we could possibly sit down with the agency that did the surveys of the buildings to see the asbestos and make the reports. And I think it would be beneficial if we brought somebody in to explain, you know, the depths of the how the asbestos, you know, different types of asbestos have different ranges of possible health problems, and you know what we need to really look at, and you know, is certain type of asbestos more dangerous than another, and how they recommend the district deal with that.
Yeah, that's that Bill Racine gentleman. He's very knowledgeable.
Yeah, so I would suggest that we bring him in to a board meeting to discuss before we pass any resolutions.
We need, one second, we need, did we have a second on that motion? Could somebody clarify down there?
Oh, second.
Scott?
So the expert on asbestos doesn't cover all the pieces. So he knows asbestos, he doesn't know mold, he doesn't know other airborne particulates, which is my concern in those buildings, because I have heard from parents about respiratory problems, and I'm sure we would find that in other buildings as well if we tested them all. But we have the opportunity before moving forward to find out what do we need to do to make the building safe for the children. If the children are truly first on this is a no-brainer. If you want to say we don't care, and that's fine. That's your right, and that's
back to the mold and mildew issue. I don't know how many of you are familiar with how mold and mildew works, but it's usually a moisture problem, and what it usually stems from is lack of maintenance and water intrusion. We took a tour with Joe at Marlborough Grade School. And there is significant water intrusion into the boiler room in the basement. And we did discuss possible options as far as repairing the drainage tile, which is causing that backup into the basement. So that's one thing we definitely do want to address, the root causes of these things, to eliminate them and improve the overall safety of the schools for the kids.
Is there any further discussion on the resolution?
I just wanted a question answered, I guess. So if we're saying that, you know, we need to do these evaluations, did the chapel in Marlborough know the risk of what's going on since they're utilizing the building right now? Or do they understand, since if parents are saying that there's a risk for health issues with being back at Marlborough, the chapel is utilizing that still, correct?
They're playing basketball.
Okay, that's, I just wanted to make sure that that's, okay, thank you.
I move that we postpone this resolution until after Mr. Nolitz with the Ethan Remedial Health Department, and that will be coming this week. And then once that assessment is done, then we can bring this up at the next meeting. Would there be a second to postponing this?
I'll second that.
Is there discussion on the postponement?
If we are trying to put in order a facilities plan, this needs to be the first step to know what the issues are. So if you delay it, you're delaying the facilities plan, thus we're delaying further moving forward. So that's if you delay it, I'm just saying, this is, you don't want to start something and then find out that the air quality is substandard.
As I said prior, addressing root causes of some of these concerns would be the first step I would suggest us taking. And after those are remedied would be the point where we'd want to reevaluate the situation.
Further discussion?
Just one thing. Just to be clear, that the health department doesn't do, going to get into any of those things Dr. Mason's talking about. You know, they're just going to be doing a walkthrough, looking at our kitchen. looking for, like, if carpets, you know, they look for immediate safety issues with, like, equipment, furniture, carpet. But the health department, I just don't want to make sure that they're not, that you're not, I'm not saying they're committed to doing any of that work, because that's not what they do.
Okay. The postponement's on the floor. I'm still in favor of the postponement. There'll be more discussion after the vote is regarding the plan to move forward and getting particular assessments. With the motion on the floor, and I agree that we should postpone this until we get some other initial evaluations done. So could you please call the roll on the postponement of the motion?
Mrs. Gabrick?
Yes.
Mr. Hagan?
Yes.
Mrs. Humphries?
No.
Dr. Mason?
No.
Mrs. Stevens?
Yes.
Motion approved, 3-2.
To move forward responsibly, it's imperative that the board obtain updated assessments of all the buildings to consider what needs done, as well as to develop a budget that will fit the needs. Dr. Mason suggested at the last meeting regarding that the board should consider having an engineering firm to lead our restore repair project caused me to think about the relationship the district currently has with PlugSmart, who's currently handling the high school windows project and has handled other projects in the district. Based on their relationship and the current confidence that the board already has in this company, I move that PlugSmart be authorized to conduct an assessment of our three elementary buildings in respect to the necessary restore and repair projects. The scope of the assessment will include maintenance or replacement needs, including but not limited to heating, cooling, lighting, windows, roofs, security, plumbing, structural integrity, prioritized into a comprehensive report to be provided directly to the Board of Education for consideration. In this effort, PlugSmart will direct all communication to the Board of Education, including the logistical needs for scheduling the building access and tours, which should be completed by the end of the month. Would there be a second to that motion?
I second that.
Is there a discussion on the motion?
The end of this month?
Yes.
So February 29th?
Wait.
Okay. Is there further discussion?
Yeah.
I guess I was a little confused there too. Did you say by the end of this week?
The end of the month.
Well, the end of the month. Yeah, but that's about a week.
Right.
So you want them to come in and do all this?
They'll do the walk through the building. I'm sorry. My understanding that they have been through most of our buildings, and it would be they would do a walk through and update all the information that they already have and come back with a report and work with us to determine what needs done. And with that, we can address the needs that Dr. Mason has brought up. If these are an issue, I think PlugSmart can probably direct us to where the right companies that would help us with this and get our schools into a safe environment.
They are awful busy people. I don't think there's any way I could get him here, get that all done in a week, to be very honest with you. I do appreciate the confidence in PlugSmart. I mean, they have been a real contributor to our success with our renovation programs. I don't know if they do all the things you've mentioned, like plumbing. I don't know if they have that scope of work or not. I would like to get that list, and I could definitely reach out to them. You guys know what's in their wheelhouse. They're the house full of 264 people. You know, which was the energy conservation, that was the lighting, and they do the windows, and they do the air conditioning kind of contracts. But I don't know about everything you mentioned. But I'd be glad to take that list and reach out to them, but I don't think there's any way I'm gonna be able to get them here and get anything comprehensive in a week. But I'll reach out to them and see what we can do.
I think that's a good starting point. We need to get started somewhere. I think it would be a great starting point. And then we do have to address all the issues, and I do understand Dr. Mason's concerns, and I think those all need to be discussed with the experts, because they're all very necessary things to factor in. Is there further discussion?
Can you can extend that time period a little bit? I mean, was there a time period in your resolution? Or?
This is just for the tour, not the report.
Okay.
The tour would be completed, and I think they would need more time after that to complete the report, is my understanding.
Oh, yeah, a lot of time. Yeah. I'd be afraid to put a time frame on them, just out of professional courtesy. I think let me reach out, see what they can offer us,
okay,
and maybe come back and say, here's the, like a menu, here's the things that they can do to help us. I think it would be a good place to start, and then maybe look at a time period after that.
Time period after that to get the report done. I mean, I think they would be ready to come in. I mean, I had a brief conversation with them.
I did talk to Will. Okay, good. And he said he was all in?
He said he would come out. I didn't ask him about the plumbing, though, but
yeah.
I did talk to him about the other issues, and he said that
I think they could do a big part of that. Really, I do. I just don't know about all those things.
Well, we've got to start somewhere, so
forward me the list, and I'll reach out.
I think this would be a good start. Is there any other discussion? Please call the roll.
Mrs. Gabrick?
Yes.
Mr. Hagan?
Yes.
Mrs. Humphreys?
Yes.
Dr. Mason?
Yes.
Mrs. Stevens?
Yes.
Motion approved 5-0.
New business, bylaw discussion update, discussion of policy 1210, board superintendent relationship. Policy 1210 is attached to our agenda. If the board would like to bring that up. And I'll open it to discussion as to any questions or proposed changes to this. I think the main question that we have discussed is I believe it was the first paragraph. Board of Education believes that in general, it's the primary duty of the board to establish policies and that of the superintendent to administer policies. Policies should not be originated or changed without the recommendation of the superintendent. The superintendent should be given the latitude to determine the best method of implementing the policies of the board. There was some language in here that we had discussed that might be beneficial to be changed based on the board being responsible for making policy as one of their primary duties. Does anyone want to comment on anything?
As the policy states here, it is the primary duty of the board to establish policies and that of the superintendent to administer such policies. A sentence following that, you know, I definitely would like some clarification as far as policy should not be originated or changed without the recommendation of the superintendent. That basically, I guess if the board establishes the policies, but they shouldn't be originated or changed without the recommendation of the superintendent, I guess my question is, why doesn't the superintendent just make the policies?
Do you have any recommendation to any language? Perhaps it should be worded that policy may be originated and changed without the recommendation of the superintendent. If the board's responsible for policy, I think we need to clarify this. Mrs. Sutton, do you have any verbiage from Neola that might help us with this?
Not right now. I could research it and get back to you.
Okay.
We'll do that.
Is this the standard? Is this not the standard?
This is.
This is currently the standard. Have we had any trouble or issues related to this? Anything related to board policy with in this regard? Has there been issues that have arisen? I'm sorry, Joe or Carol, yeah. Any?
Not that I'm aware of.
In the past, no.
No.
Ms. Thunder, if you don't mind reaching out to Neola, I think it would be good to at least have an option that if the board is responsible for policy, the board should be allowed to also make a recommendation. So maybe either the board or the superintendent may make a recommendation or something like that might be beneficial. If you could check in, that would be greatly appreciated. The second one under new business is recommend the motion to approve the first reading of the board bylaw 0155 as presented and marked Exhibit J. Is there a motion?
I'll make the motion.
Is there a second?
Second.
This would be the first reading. This is in regard to board committees. Mrs. Sutton, do you have that up? Could you bring that up on your icon? It looks like we are trying to change the word shall to may, but in two places it's crossed out and it still says shall. Did you take a quick look at that?
No, that was me and my secretary kind of going back and forth on the mays and the shalls. Basically, what you asked us to do is to take every time there was a shall and change it to a may. But there were some times where a shall needed to remain, if that makes sense. So Mrs. Packy and I sat back down and we looked at a couple of those things. Well, basically, letters A through E are the ones that are most important based on your recommendation. All the shalls turned into may. So instead of you shall have a committee, now which you may have a committee. Does that make sense? Follow me, Ms. Gear?
I'm thinking the first one should be in May, though. Maybe we should...
Well... In that case, it says they shall when they are charged to do so. But if they're not charged to do so, it would be irrelevant. That's why we kept it there. Does that make sense?
Please have order in the room.
And then the part that talks about taking action, you shall not take action on behalf of the board. No committee takes action on
That's
behalf
correct.
Of the board.
That's
so that shall needs to remain. But all the other ones are what you asked, may to shall. I'm sorry, vice versa. Shall to may.
So that does accomplish that we are not required to set up committees.
Correct.
Unless the need arises.
Yep. And if there is.
If and when the need would arise.
Yep.
And this is a bylaw.
Yes, this is
bylaw.
This is a bylaw, correct. Did I muddy that up enough for you? I'm sorry. Is that okay?
It's
right.
Confusing right. enough, I guess.
Yeah.
Is there any further discussion or questions on 155? So,
I would ask that since this is a board bylaw, why aren't we following it currently? Aren't we out of order by not having committees and not having them staffed? And we are in the second month of the year. So if we're bringing this up, it has not been changed. It says shall. Why don't we have committees and why aren't they staffed if it is a bylaw?
Well, after Mr. Noel's explanation, I'm not sure we need to change it at all, because the one I thought needed changed was the first one that says that we shall, when specifically charged to do so by the board. I thought that was the one that needed changed, and we have been discussing this since our organizational meeting. The recommendation was made. The high school board said that several school boards are going to full board discussion rather than committees in order to just have more transparency on the board, more discussion. And I have been trying to get it changed since then. I just want to make sure we're changing it to the right thing.
If you want to change that back, we can.
So if you're telling me that the first sentence does not require us to set up committees, then I think we're okay the way it was.
That's why the shall is still there. Yeah.
So I guess I don't now see the problem.
Well, the problem is when you get down to letter A, it says committees shall consist of a certain number of people.
Right.
They shall be appointed by you.
Right.
That to me is the part where the committees are in place. The first sentence says committees of board members, if and when they're put together, when you're charged, you conduct those studies, et cetera. But down below there is where you need to talk to the point where you may have them, you may not. If you do have them and you're instructed to do those things by the board, you shall do them as committee member.
Right, if we run this by Neil and make sure that we have our verbiage correct.
We can.
I mean, have we yet?
We did reach out.
We did, and he's not been available, but
okay.
he is aware that we want to discuss this further.
If we're going to change it, is it better to wait? Can you reach out to Neola? Yep. Can you connect with Neola?
We can do whatever you like.
Whatever you would direct us to do, we can do it.
What do you think, just wait? I mean, or should we appoint the committees?
I'd say we should wait to hear back from Neola on that.
It's still the current policy. It's still the current bylaw.
Well, so there seems to be confusion whether we need to have the, whether it says we must have committees or whether only have committees if they're charged to do so.
I know, but as it sits now, it says we shall have committees. And if you're charged, then you're going to do these things. That's been my biggest concern. I'm in Dr. Mason's camp here, I guess. We've had this policy or this bylaw for a lot of years, and at our organizational meeting, we have made committees. And I think by not doing that, we're not following the intent of this bylaw.
Right, there's okay, so it says in E, the president may or shall appoint at the organizational meeting or soon after as practicable to the standing committee.
There's no may in that. It says the president shall appoint.
As soon thereafter as practicable. So since we are in the discussion stage of whether to change it or whether we understand what it's saying, I think we should wait till we reach out to Neola and get their opinion whether we must have them or whether we have the option.
Ms. Gaber, with all due respect, the changes we've made is what's causing the confusion. The policy of the states right now is not changed. Like I said, it's the policy for the bylaw we've had for all these years. I guess the point is...
But we haven't always had committees the whole time I've been on the board, and this policy hasn't changed, so I...
Yeah, all the years I've been here.
Right, all the years you've been here, but not all the years I've been on the board, so it hasn't always been interpreted this way.
Oh, okay. I guess I'm just a little leery that we're not following what the policy, or what the bylaw says. I guess that's my point. But if you guys are okay with it, we'll move on.
I would like to get a clarification from Neola, the language that they would recommend for us to have the option of establishing committees when needed. And I would rather rely on their language if we haven't reached out to them yet.
So that doesn't change the fact it's still our bylaw. You can reach out to Neola all you want, but we're not following our own rules.
Right, but I think we have leeway where it says as soon as practicable, and if we're in discussion over whether we're going to have committees, I think it's practicable to wait, Josh.
And when you appoint them, will they be for a term of 1 year?
So we're going to try to maintain order. I'm sorry, didn't mean to cut you off, but I waited and got the mic, so I'll gladly pass it on down to you. As it says, as practical, which means in a timely manner so that it can be successful. So establishing a committee just because we're required to establish a committee because the bylaw says so doesn't mean that it's going to be done in a successful manner. So doing it as it says currently, practicable, we're not out of order. But go ahead and feel free to clarify and explain to me how I'm wrong.
Soon thereafter, that's the word. Soon thereafter, a meeting we had more than a month ago. This is more than soon thereafter. We're longer than soon thereafter. So the president shall appoint at the organizational meeting or soon, as soon after the organizational meeting as practical.
As practical.
And there's, well, why, I don't understand what the issue is of appointing the committees. I don't understand what is that holding up? Following our rules.
Can you pass the mic down to Josh when you finish, please?
I guess what we're getting at is we'd like the whole board to participate in the conversations, at least in the time being, until we feel the need to establish committees. So.
There's a reason this is written this way. The reason the committees shall consist of no more than two members is to prevent domination of one board member over all the rest of the committees. And committees are set up based on trust. And I would say the battling the committees, and this argument about transparency is almost laughable sometimes when actions speak louder than words. But the committee of a whole is the most inefficient way to get things done, without question, and I think that's well known and documented. I would like to know what school districts are using this, Mrs. Gabriel. Is somebody in Stark County doing it that we can talk to them, how well it's worked for them? I mean, that's a question I have.
I fail to see that the reasoning of this policy is to keep, you know, whatever you said from happening. As it says here, members shall be appointed by the president. So if that was a concern, you know, the president could appoint the members they wanted to the committees that they wanted and could follow through with what you're saying as well, so.
Thanks. So So, and just to touch base too, when we went to the OSBA training, which was very valuable, which I once again want to thank the board for allowing us to do, it did suggest that a lot of the school districts, which I'm sure we can reach out to a representative, were allowed to do so, suggested that not doing a committee meeting and doing an actual full board meeting and discussing it was more transparent and more effective, especially as a parent or a person who is working. It's hard to maybe make it a transparent meeting when the meetings are during working hours or when you're a parent or anything else. So what we were looking at or hoping to do was to be more transparent, and that's why we suggested the 2 board meetings as well.
So to answer Scott's question, I do not have a list of all the boards that would be not using committees. We can reach out to OSBA and see if they have a list. It was discussed at the meeting, and the discussion has taken place there. So we did move to have a first reading. I will move to postpone this. This is something, do you think perhaps by the next meeting you'd be able to reach out to Neola on this one?
I've reached out to Neola. Our representative is on medical leave. He's contacted us on an emergency basis. I can re-contact him and see if he's available. If we can get on the top of the list or near the top of the list when he returns.
Okay. I'm going to postpone this until the next meeting, and hopefully by then we'll have the correct changes in the policy to vote on. Is there a second?
I second that.
Is there any discussion on postponing it? Please call the roll.
Mrs. Gabrick?
Yes.
Mr. Hagan?
Yes.
Mrs. Humphries?
No.
Dr. Mason?
No.
Mrs. Stevens?
Yes.
Motion approved, 3-2.
Moving into the minutes, recommend a motion to approve the minutes of the following meetings. The regular meeting for February 6, 2020. Is there a motion?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Is there any discussion on the minutes?
Yes.
We talked about resolutions in this one. And I'm concerned about where these resolutions come from. Some of them we're already having to backtrack on and look into again. So I wanted to know who created these resolutions.
Which specific resolution are you speaking to?
The resolutions that were put in to be changed. Well, no, the resolution for Marlboro Elementary to be reopened.
I put those together.
You alone?
No, not alone.
So with who?
There were several people involved.
So who?
Transparent.
Yeah,
true. Sunshine. Yes, were Josh and Danielle involved? That would be a sunshine law violation. But who was involved with those resolutions?
I typed them all up.
And you typed them up, but who had input?
Can you pass it on to Josh, please?
I had no input. I don't know about Danielle.
Or I didn't have any input either.
Mr. Mason, any input?
Okay, so were they, did you have them approved by legal counsel or checked through legal counsel?
They were not approved by legal counsel.
Okay. I think in the past I've heard, I don't know, maybe Mr. Knoll can speak to this. Do you normally draft resolutions?
Me?
Yes.
No.
You do not?
No, there's been times where if you guys have asked for resolutions on different issues, Mrs. Slick just writes them, to be very blunt. She's our legal counsel. She writes all those and everything gets her approval.
So I'm concerned if these were not passed through, attorneys or any sort of legal consideration, that opens us up to possible litigation or issues. And so I don't feel comfortable having these, saying yes to these minutes when these resolutions aren't in. And we don't know exactly where they came from and if they should be, if there's anything in it that legal counsel needs to, would change or recommend something different.
Karen, can you pass the badge, Joel?
The approval of the minutes is just approving what happened at the last meeting. It's not approving of what happened at the last meeting. So I don't see the problem with approving of the minutes when that, you know, shouldn't have anything to do with the approval of the minutes. It's just going over what we did at the last meeting.
But should not the resolutions be reviewed by legal counsel to make sure they're okay? Especially going forward. I mean, it makes sense. And again, transparency. You know, if it passes that legal test, I think that's important. I don't want to be opened up to a lawsuit, personally. We know board members are getting sued, personally. So I think it's a safety issue on our behalf. I think it would be smart for us to make sure that all resolutions are passed through legal counsel.
There have been resolutions in the past that have not been passed by legal counsel. I'm assuming that perhaps some of them have been, but I know motions have been made and resolutions have been made at the meetings that have not gone through with legal counsel. We've come out of executive session and there have been resolutions that have been drafted. Is there any further discussion? Please call the roll.
Mrs. Gabrick?
Yes.
Mr. Hagan?
Yes.
Mrs. Humphries?
No.
Dr. Mason?
No.
Mrs. Stevens?
Yes.
Motion approved, 3-2.
On the financial resolutions, recommend the motion to approve the financial reports and overview of receipts and expenditures for the period ending January 31st, 2020 as presented and marked as Exhibit K and Exhibit L. Is there a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Ms. Berger, do you want to review that information?
Sure.
The first exhibit is a financial summary for the district. So it's a summary of all funds and fund balances. And the other exhibit you'll have is the check register, which includes all checks written. Some things to note is the check, there is a check on there for $190,000 for the middle school roof. The final payment. BWC grant for safety, window claims, $24,000. These are just some financial highlights, checks that we've written. Air conditioning project, there's one payment left, and the payment on here on the check register is $112,000. So those are some of the larger items that happened. And there's also the bank reconciliation, which you'll see ties to the financial summary report.
Are there any questions on that or further discussion?
Mrs. Gabrick?
Yes.
Mr. Hagan?
Yes.
Mrs. Humphries?
Yes.
Dr. Mason?
Abstain.
And Mrs. Stevens?
Yes.
Motion approved 401. Sorry.
Recommend the motion to approve the donations as follows. The donor, 467 Foundations Incorporated, $600 for a donation to Marlington High School for the Gamers Club. Danny Lytel, $100 donation to Marlington High School for the Ashley White Stump Scholarship. The Washington Rotan Club, $200 donation to high school for the Science Fair. And these are accepted with gratitude and thanks to each of our donors. Is there a motion to accept?
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? Please call the roll.
Mr. Mrs. Gabrick?
Yes.
Mr. Hagan?
Yes.
Mrs. Humphries?
Yes.
Dr. Mason?
Yes.
Mrs. Stevens?
Yes.
Motion approved 5-0.
The personnel agenda, the consent agenda. Recommend the motion to accept the retirement of Lois Griffith, effective August 31st, 2020. Recommend the motion to hire the following individuals to be added to the classified substitute list for the 2019-20 school year, pending verification of satisfactory credentials, BCI and FBI checks as required. Craig Cobb, Alexandra Ellison, Dylan Fields, Caitlin Treese.
So moved.
Second.
Is there any discussion? Please call the roll.
Mrs. Gabrick?
Yes.
Mr. Hagan?
Yes.
Mrs. Humphries?
Yes.
Dr. Mason?
Yes.
Mrs. Stevens?
Yes.
Motion approved 5-0.
Mr. Don, do you want to do the announcement?
Sure. Yeah.
Record for the document.
There you go. All right, round two of my Cup of Joe meetings next Tuesday. We had a nice turnout earlier in the week. I appreciate those folks that came. Our choir concert on the 27th over at the high school, March 3rd. We have the middle high school band concert at the auditorium, March the 5th. Board of Education meet will be in Washington. March the 9th, NHS formal induction at the high school auditorium. March 11th, the winter sports banquet, and March 17th is our basketball cheerleading banquet at good old Scallion Pines. Next meeting, keep going. Just keep going. Like I said, we'll be over Washington. Okay, so on the 5th, we'll be at 7 p.m. And then on the 19th, we're doing two a month, as you've heard. We'll be back at Washington. And I thought we'd start a building tour maybe a little earlier over there, just to get us around. Okay, so we'll start with a special meeting at 6, followed by a regular meeting at 7, if that's okay with the board. Go start time.
Awesome. At this time, we'll have public participation. And we had three people that had signed up for public participation. The first one on the agenda is Mr. Robertson.
All right, good evening, Washington board, parents, and certainly many concerned citizens and very interested citizens. On behalf of many citizens of Marlington, I'm speaking as a student, former student of Marlington, somebody who raised three kids here at this school district, had three sisters of Marlington, and has attempted to continue to support this great school system over the years. I'm speaking tonight about a great concern that has already developed with our new school board. At the February 6th board meeting, which was only the second board meeting ever with this board, there was a very inappropriate, unprofessional thing that happened where a key, and critical agenda topic was added to the agenda but was not discussed prior with either the superintendent, treasurer, or two of the five board members. I believe if the board as a group is ready and has done their homework and has decided after studying homework and research and input to reopen Marlboro, then that is one thing. But to catch people off guard that are on your own school board and to bring it up as a surprise topic at 7:05 p.m. as an additional agenda item and only to have told three of your five board members is totally, totally inappropriate and certainly is the opposite of the word transparency and not the way any school board should be run. All five board members were voted in and should be treated as equal. A pre-typed resolution was drawn up by our president, so this certainly was premeditated. The decision to open Marlboro Grade School is a very, very important decision with a lot of emotions. it needs to be done, and that decision needs to be made with careful thought. It shouldn't be made at this point because it was a campaign promise. And it shouldn't be made hastily, because all critical decisions need time to be thought out and to collect input from all important parties. Well, there's no way that can happen when the new board has only been seated for about a month and the input and the numbers and the finances were not shared prior because the topic was not on the agenda. Let's take a brief moment and look at the numbers. The enrollment of the kids that are actually in the grade school, meaning not counting open enrollees that are going elsewhere, not counting homeschooled students, but just counting the students that are actually going to school. The enrollment right now in K through 5 is 841 students. 5 years ago, the number was 986. 10 years ago, the number was 1,076. This means the school system has lost 22% of our kids in the last 10 years in grade school. The trend isn't getting better. We just graduated a senior class, replaced them technically with a kindergarten class, and lost 66 kids in the transition. Now let's think about this. If any of our businesses lost 22% of our revenues or our customer base in a 10-year period, would we be looking to keep the same number of facilities, plants, branches, employees open? No way. No way. With the numbers that we have now, if we reopen Marlboro School and we have 3 elementary schools, times 3 classrooms apiece. That's 9 classrooms per grade. This means that in the grades that only have 123 kids, like our kindergarten class has right now, we're gonna have 14 kids per classroom. If you put them in rows, like you did when I went to school, 5 rows, that's gonna be 3 kids in a row. For the grades will have less than 125 kids, it'll be fewer than 14 kids per class. Let's look at the dollar impact. According to our treasurer, which should easily be able to be checked and certified, we are saving about $400,000 this school year by closing Marlboro. That figure was bound to grow as we would have had the ability to not replace future retired teachers, future retired cooks, administrators that would no longer be needed in replacements in the years to come. My guess is that if we continue to operate at the 2 elementary schools that we are at this point, the savings will end up approaching $600,000 per school year pretty quickly. If we reopen Marlboro, we are going to have to rehire individuals and not only wipe out the savings that we are realizing now, but likely it's going to cost us even more money to reopen the school. And we heard a little bit about that tonight with our discussion. What do the teachers, students, and parents think that are in the district and that are in the schools? What are teachers, students, and parents think now that the kids have been moved from Marlboro and have actually gone to school now almost a year? Isn't that input important enough to truly collect and truly get the majority of the students and the parents that are affected? You've only heard from a small sampling of them so far. Wouldn't it make sense to have open meetings at the schools and attempt to really get the opinions of the parents of our students? They already know what it's been like to be moved out of Marlboro to Washington or Lexington. Don't listen to me. Don't listen to certain people in the crowd. Let's ask the parents of those kids that are living that environment every day. Our kids who are in grade second through fourth grade today will be forced to go to their third different school building in a three-year period if this decision remains. Some of the kids will have gone to Marlboro, then Washington or Lexington, and back to Marlboro in a three-year period. In closing, the way this topic was handled was extremely inappropriate and is no way for a board to operate. His reflection on the board president as her idea to surprise people with the resolutions that have already been prepared. That is totally unfair, and all board members and citizens should be appalled that that was allowed to happen. Let's take our time. Let's collect true input. Let's look at the finances. Let's look at the numbers. Let's talk to our parents. Then, let's make a more educated decision that's best for everybody. The board, you represent the best for the kids, the school, our students. It's no longer about your personal running campaign agenda. Let's do the process right. Let's give us the best chance to make the best decision. At this point, you've been elected. Put your campaign literature away. Let's make the best decision possible. Thank you.
More smoothly and have everyone appropriately prepared for the discussion, I request the following changes to be made to the agenda. New business, B, board discussion of facilities, Marlboro Elementary. Mrs. Bruger should be prepared to respond to four questions regarding projected financial savings, and Mr. Knoll prepared to respond to four questions regarding enrollment and or vision. District renovations, updates, impairs, improvements, repairs. Recommendation to create a position which we were not able to discuss. Recommendation to establish a hiring process. Recommendation to amend the strategic plan. Recommendation to discuss the organizational resolution. Number seven, action may be taken on any of the above items. And this continued on, and on the second page, Mr. Knoll, if you have a specific legal resolution recommendation for each of the above discussions under facilities, please provide those to facilitate the process. I think we should be prepared in case the board decides they are ready to take action following their discussion. So, as board president, I submitted this timely to the superintendent in an effort to timely inform the board of our action that was hoping to be discussed and action.
The next person for public participation is Jake Pack.
Well, you all watched me walk up here. When I was a little younger, I used to run a 10-800 meter dash. Not anymore. Did everybody hear me okay?
Yes.
Good evening. I'd like to share some thoughts on the reopening of the Marlboro School. My name is Jake Peck. My wife Betty and I are 43-year-old residents of the Marlington School District. I've had two sons, and all three of my grandchildren attend the school in the district. Before retiring, my business background included materials manager, purchasing manager, manufacturing system manager, cost and quality improvement. I have 55 years of business experience at General Motors and Diebold Incorporated. Also, I have a degree from Ohio State in business and finance. I think I fully understand both sides of the Marlboro issue, both financially and personally. I recognize that the closing of the Marlboro School has fixed some budget shortfalls for the school system. However, it has also destroyed a sense of community pride and has adversely impacted the local economy. The examination of the pros and cons reveals that each argument has its strengths and weaknesses. The issue of money and what makes a great school system cuts both ways in the school's consolidation discussion. A closer examination sorts out the thrust of the pros and cons of consolidation. I'm not going to get into any statistics or financial information. I guess too early to even discuss that. Scott referenced a lot of that in his presentation. As far as the arguments for closing and consolidation, the proponents of closing Marlboro have used the quality of education as a selling point. The ability to save money and avoid budget deficits is another big selling point. When schools are consolidated, the unused buildings can be sold or used for other purposes, such as technical training centers. As far as the arguments for reopening the Marlboro School, I can relate to all these following arguments. While saving money is a pro, the loss of a school is a big negative. Parents typically want their children to attend the same school system they did. They fear that their children will be lost in a larger consolidated school, larger classrooms. They feel students won't be able to identify with a new school. Bottom line is the school board has full legal authority to make this decision. I don't think there's a legal issue there. In summary, it appears to me that there was an emotional effort to restore community identity. However, there was no consideration of the impact. In fact, the reduced quality of education is very, very obvious. Financial burden placed on all the townships in the Marlington School District is significant. There's also an unfounded belief that there is a voter mandate to reopen Marlboro. If a survey was made today, I'll guarantee you what the answer would be. I don't think it's going to be positive. The financial burden argument simply overshadows the issue of pride and identity. The cost burden will impact all the residents of all three townships, cause higher cost of education for the sake of one township's wants and desires. I don't believe logic has been applied here. As Trump would say, the best is yet to come. Realistically, sooner or later, all three of these grade schools will be consolidated into a central campus. I think it's inevitable. This is the best long-term solution, both financially and for the quality of education for our students. Reopening Marlboro results in total lost money that can never be recovered. It's gone, down the drain. Reopening the school only benefits Marlboro residents. In fact, this action will significantly penalize the residents of Washington and Lexington Township and provides no benefit at all. Keep in mind that the Marlboro School represents only one-third of the K through 5 enrollment. I'm therefore recommending that the board either rescind the resolution or seek voter approval to verify the so-called voter mandate. Other options include, to avoid the budget deficit, include voter approval to pass all associated costs to reopen them and maintain the Marlboro School on exclusively to the residents of Marlboro. They are the beneficiaries of that. They should pay for it. Or place a bond issue on the ballot to cover all associated costs to reopen and maintain the school. Obviously, rescinding the, until more information can be presented, rescinding the resolution is the quickest and easiest solution. I could accept reopening the Marlboro School if there is a verified voter mandate or all costs are absorbed by the residents of Marlboro. That's all I've got to say about that.
I should have done this long ago publicly. Mr. Peck, stop in your tracks. I got hired 8 years ago. The first man that called me was right there. And I don't know if I've ever said that publicly and thank you, I didn't do it tonight. The better part of it was he said, what can I do as a Washington Ruitan to help Marlington? You remember that?
Yep.
And the Ruitans and Stephanie Swisher, wherever you are, in our middle school student council, put that new sign down there at the corner. So I want to thank you for that. Thank the Ruitans and obviously our middle school. But I should have said that 8 years ago.
Susan Greiner.
Hi, my name is Susan Greiner. I live here in Lexington Township. Bear with me, because I'm not used to speaking in public. But I've been asked to share my letter on a subject that I feel very passionately about. I currently have a stepson, stepdaughter, daughter, niece, and nephew in the Marlington District, and the following is the letter I presented to the board. Imagine you or a loved one arrives in an emergency department with severe chest pain. While there, you or your loved one stop breathing and loses a heartbeat. A code blue is initiated. This means chest compressions and breathing begins to start an attempt to save your life. An entire team, a code team, is initiated to bring you or your loved one back to life. Imagine on this day, the team member who had the least experience or the most impulsive behavior did what they wanted. Protocol was not followed, nor did the team work together to get the best outcome. What happens, you may wonder? Well, someone dies. However, when you take a good team, put it in place, follow protocol, and everyone works together, you or your loved one will most likely live. Why? This is simply because everyone did exactly what they needed to do to provide the best care for the individual. As you may guess, I'm a registered nurse. I can only rationalize what's going on when I think of it medically. I strive every day in my profession to provide the best care for my patients. The best part of my job is in the event of an emergency, I work with the best team of professionals to get the best outcome possible for the patient. As a board member, I believe each and every one of you have taken and been sworn to a pledge to do what is right. I believe you have agreed to work as a team. I believe you agreed to follow the process and protocols to make good decisions for our district and children. I believe you want to strive to make educated decisions and keep the district moving forward instead of ending up in demise. At the end of the day, I believe you value your position and want to get the best outcomes for the children in our district. So what I don't understand is how this is possible. With all the information provided, a vote was still made without a plan in place. This is very surprising when one looks at the financial impact on the district. In the medical field, this is a recipe for disaster. Don't you see how this relates? A disaster is about to happen with no plan or protocol to back up the decisions and no teamwork to help back up this new decision as well. I'm truly disappointed to hear the news of the reopening of Marlboro Elementary. I was unable to attend the last board meeting due to work. However, what I've learned and all the articles I've read has made me infuriated. It's very disappointing to think that my daughter, who is currently in second grade, may not have a school to attend within the next 5 years due to poor financial planning. I fear this based off of some decisions that appear to be self-serving. As this was insinuated, I also do not feel my daughter is receiving a subpar education at Lexington. Actually, she's doing very well and excelling. She loves her principal and all her teachers. One of her new best friends is actually a little girl from Marlboro. These kids have adapted well and are thriving. Why backtrack? Why uproot these children? Leave them alone. Even though my roots here at Marlington, the thought of selling my home to find a more safe and financially secure school district makes me sick. Why can't we work together as a team to provide the best outcomes for the families who actually have students in the system? Why are we listening to all the people who don't have a child in the system or who are not truly invested? I recently filled out a survey and expressed my concern, and I understand it wasn't addressed or taken into consideration at the last meeting. That survey wasn't valid, as we were going to fear repercussion if we said something negative regarding the consolidation. This is ridiculous. Can we all accept that the consolidation appears to be working? Isn't it your job to listen to us, the board members, all the board members, teachers, administrators, and students? I guess I'm just heartbroken, confused, disappointed, and frustrated. Thank you, Ms. Humphreys and Dr. Mason, for your timely, sincere response. I was saddened not to receive a response from my email, and actually more insulted to receive an automated response from two others. So while I understand it's not possible to please everyone, the question is, are we really on the same page like your automated response states? Are you truly listening to the community and families that your decisions affect? Should we as a community sit back and accept automated responses to legitimate, individualized concerns regarding the district? Thank you for your time.
Next will be Whitney Zorn, and you'll have 3 minutes.
Hi, my name is Whitney Zorn. I am a current Marlboro resident. My daughter did attend Marlboro Elementary School. She is now going to Lexington. She's doing wonderful. Met so many wonderful new friends. I've met so many new parents I never would have ever been able to meet. But I'm here to ask the board if you can please stop and think about what you're doing financially. Sorry, I'm a little nervous. I'm not saying not to open Marlboro or build a new school or keep what we have. I just want you to think about financially down the road. Are we going to have problems down the road financially? Because numbers are kind of telling us yes. I'm a little worried about that. And as a taxpayer, are you going to come back and ask us for more money to support only Marlboro? Like other people have said, this only affects Marlboro. You know, Marlboro Elementary is just a building. It's the people and the kids and the teachers that's in them that the most important. I think we've all been doing very well being together and working together. And I think we do better together. We work much better together. That's all I can say.
Ashley Harris, you have 3 minutes.
Thank you for giving me a few minutes to talk. I'm Ashley Harris. I have an eighth grade stepdaughter, and I have a four-year-old and a one-year-old at home, so I'm going to be around for a while. You know, I'm not someone that gets up and speaks at these types of things, but this is important to me, and I figure I'm just a mom with some kids trying to do the right thing. I think there's a lot of us out there, and I just want to be one more voice to speak for us. You know, I care about the future of the district, and I just really strongly feel that you're making a really financially irresponsible decision. I just want to touch on a few things. I'm not going to say anything we haven't heard before, but again, one more voice, maybe it'll sink in. $400,000 is a lot of money, and that's what was saved by going from 3 rundown, outdated elementary schools to 2. It's been successful. Second point, I guess, is these families that have gone through this, the kids are thriving, the parents are happy, and why would you go back on that progress? It's been successful. The teachers, here over and over, this is what the teachers want, and it doesn't seem like you're listening to them. They're the ones in the classroom with these children, you know, talking to the parents. They're seeing the progress, and, you know, the teachers are what make this district great. I'm actually a Minerva graduate, and I live across the street from the Minerva border, and I choose to send my kids to Marlington because of the teachers, the curriculum, the administration. And I want to be able to continue to do that, and you guys need to make financially responsible decisions so that we can have this school around when my one-year-old is old enough to attend. I guess the most important thing, or most important point, I can't wrap my head around it, and we keep talking about this, there's declining enrollment, right? There's declining enrollment. We're at 2 schools right now. Why would we open a 3rd one back up? It makes no sense to me. Like I said, I'm not someone who usually gets up and talks at these things, but that is one point that just, I can't grab it. So, but thank you guys for giving me the opportunity to speak. And I know we talked about the platform you guys ran on for the election. I attended your Meet the Candidate events. I feel like I'm informed, and I get that was your platform, and that was, you know, what you want to move forward with, but please take some time and really think about those decisions and make sure it's right. Don't just do it because you said that's what you're going to do, and now we know it might not be the right thing for the district and the kids and, you know, the future. So, thank you.
Jamie Evans, you have 3 minutes.
Good evening. I live in the most western part of the Marlington District. I have a high schooler and 2 of my kids are at Lexington. I live 9 miles from the elementary school. My kids are also 4th-generation Marlington students, and I am against Marlborough reopening. Excuse me. First, I'd like to say that Marlington has incredible teachers and administration who have been educated to make the decisions for our children. So yes, I want to hear what they have to say and what they choose and know is best for our kids. Our teachers have gone above and beyond to help our kids transition this year, and I cannot thank you all enough. My son has had a terrible time adjusting this year, and it breaks my heart to have to move him again. Not all kids are resilient. Last week, my son said to me, "Can't you call someone and tell them not to open Marlborough?" He's in 3rd grade. I told him that I've emailed them. He wanted to know what they said. Obviously, he's not going to understand. So I told him, long story short, that no matter what happened, we'd make the best of it. Sunday, he handed me this note. You could take one and pass it down, and ask me to mail it to the people that are making him go back to Marlborough. My name is Spencer Evans, and I am a 3rd grader who was at Marlborough, and now I go to Lexington. I was scared and mad, and it was weird, but I did it. What are you fixing at Marlborough, and where are you getting the money? Because I thought Marlborough closed to save money. I made a lot of new friends at Lexington, and my friends want me to stay too. From Spencer. He asked me to mail this, and I told him I would hand deliver it tonight. He wants you to write him back, and I told him that you're very busy people, but I have to tell you that if you choose to do that, I will read it because I have to, it's my son, I have to protect him. I want to say, can you honestly say that you are being financially responsible? Are you really listening to parents? Marlington is more than just voters. I'm a voter too. This is beyond new taxes and a consolidated school. We go beyond our township borders. We have very intelligent, good people on our board, and I say this knowing that some of our current views from Marlington are different. I pray that wise decisions are made that will not compromise the future of our district, and that even when decisions are hard for whatever reasons, that you will look at the facts and remember we are more than the township's prison.
Jamie, can you finish up?
I am. Lastly, I would just like to encourage parents that no matter what happens, watch what you say in front of your children, because my third grader didn't hear the financial end of that from me. He hears that from other kids talking about it, and we have to make whatever happens positive, and we control that.
Mary Sherman, you have 3 minutes.
Good evening, Mary Sherman, Marlborough Township. At the last board meeting, Mr. Noel showed a slide that stated Stark County is getting older and poorer. And then Tuesday evening, I attended the Cup of Joe series at Science Hill Church, and Mr. Noel said while talking to a realtor, Marlington is turning into a retirement community. We need families with children to move into the school district. I've also heard the comment that farmers and old people vote down all the bond issues. Since I would be considered an old person, I am over 65, I think we're getting a bad rap. As someone who knocked on doors for 6 weeks for the Hagen-Stevens campaign, I can assure you that there were many young parents who were against consolidation and the closing of Marlborough, but did not want to say. Then there were the middle-aged parents, those with children in high school, who unequivocally stated that it was time for regime change. The point I'm trying to make is that these new board members didn't just win from old people. All different age groups came together to make their voices known. An ad last week in the Alliance Review had the question, does this board believe voters will support new property taxes to keep the school operating in 2023? So let's look at the history. In November 2012 and May 2013, voters turned down bond issues for new facilities. However, that November 2013, the board placed a 2 mil levy on the ballot for general improvements. The bond issue passed 60.34% to 39.66%. In November 2014 and 2019, an 8.5 mil bond levy was renewed, and the 2 mil levy was again renewed in 2018. So my answer to your question, will the voters support a new operating levy in 2023? I believe they will, because this board is finally doing what the majority of voters have asked for. Thank you.
The board may enter into executive session in accordance with ORC 121.22 to consider confidential information related to negotiations with other political subdivisions respecting requests for economic development assistance. and the executive session is necessary to protect the interests of the applicant or the possible investment or expenditure of public funds to be made in connection with an economic development project. Additionally, the board may enter into executive session in accordance with ORC 121.22 for discussion of matters required to be kept confidential by federal law, rules, or state statutes. Is there a motion?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Is there any discussion? Please call the roll.
Mrs. Gabrick?
Yes.
Mr. Hagan?
Yes.
Mrs. Humphries?
Yes.
Dr. Mason?
Yes.
Mrs. Stevens?
Yes.
Motion approved 5-0.